world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. It's always a joy to have you with us. Grab a cup of coffee, or if you're driving to work, maybe you better just keep your eyes on the road. But we're glad that you've joined us today. We are talking about origins. Now, that's something that those who are not believers in God drastically disagree with God's Word. And Brother Jerry Fry, welcome back. Last time we were together, you were talking about the origin of the earth and how God uses trees just as one illustration of His care for us. And also in the studio, John Fallahy. Pastor John, glad to have you back with us this morning. But today, Jerry, we're going to be talking about another origin. Tell us about that.
We're going to talk a little bit about how the fossil record demonstrates the origin of life. And how the fossil record really doesn't support the geologic column, which is used to teach long ages. Another one of those things that
millions and millions of years, right?
Right. Set up against the knowledge of God.
Yes.
Another one of those high things out of 2 Corinthians 10. So we want to review essentially what amounts to the Cambrian explosion. So the Cambrian explosion is at the lowest level of the fossil record. And the reason that this is, it's called that, is there is a sudden and complete fossil record, quite frankly, of every phyla known today is in that fossil record, and they're complex right off the bat. So it's not some idea of gradual ascent of creatures from single cell to multiple cell to you know, ultimately man.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it shows. It actually shows a sudden death of billions of things all over the world. So they're the sign of catastrophe. These fossils are found in environments that are not complete ecosystems. So in other words, it's not like, you know, there was a desert and all desert fossils are there,
right,
or whatnot. As a matter of fact, 95% of the fossil record is marine invertebrates, and 95% of those fossils are found on the land, including on the top of every mountain range that we've ever explored.
Now, marine meaning water.
Water.
And on top of mountain ranges.
Right.
And so, obviously, the question is, how did the water get to the top of the mountain ranges?
Well, that's part of the conjecture, right?
Yeah, right.
So The Bible would suggest that the fountains of the deep opened up, and that, in fact, we did have a worldwide flood. And in Genesis, we're told that the top mountain was under 18 cubits of water.
Mm.
And you can use a different measure for the cubit, but the fact of the matter is all the mountains were underwater, and all that had breath of life that was from the land perished, except
right,
for Noah, his three sons, their wives, and the animals that were brought to the ark by the Lord.
And Mrs. Noah.
Right, and Mrs. Noah. Did I leave her out? I'm sorry. That would be bad. So the fossil record actually is a demonstration of death. It's actually a demonstration of the judgment of God. The issue about death being used to create man, in 1 Corinthians 15, we're told that death is the enemy of man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Death
mm-hmm.
and Hades are the last two things thrown into the lake of fire.
Right.
So the idea that God would use death as the means to create man and on day six call it very good is incongruous. It doesn't fit with what we understand the character of God to be. It also doesn't fit with the theology that we're fallen and that death came from sin and that Jesus Christ came, in fact, to redeem us from that sin. So we see this sudden complex life just explode in the, it's called the Precambrian or Cambrian explosion. So one of the issues about the geologic column, this is the argument that secularists make, supporting millions of years in their view, that each layer of the geologic column represents a certain progression in the evolution of life. And the thing about the geologic column that's been kind of over the last 15, 20 years in particular, we're finding these specimens are not limited to specific strata, that in fact, the specimens go across the strata and they're all jumbled up. And so there's no particular fidelity in the geologic column. In other words, it doesn't tell the story that they purport that it tells at all.
How did they explain that, or do they just ignore it?
They ignore it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Richard Dawkins said this about this problem. It's as though they were just planted there without any evolutionary history. He's perplexed.
Sure, right. Well, he ought to be. He's ignored the knowledge of God. And so that ought to leave you perplexed.
It has. And then we have these things that are often referred to today as living fossils. So one of the more recent examples was coelacanth. It's a fish. It looks kind of ancient, right? Kind of looks like crocodile-ish or something for a fish. But it was found in 1938 off the coast of South Africa. We don't have any coelacanth fossils that are in strata that secularists say are any newer than 70 million years. In other words, apparently they went extinct 70 million years ago, but they're suddenly on the Earth now. They're nowhere in the fossil record in that intermediate period.
So they're called living fossils.
They're called living fossils. They were thought to be extinct, and we're finding more and more of these that were thought to be extinct, and in fact, they're not.
Yeah.
The other remarkable thing is that every time we find one of these, the example of the fossil record is one of stasis, not change.
Mm.
In other words, they look just the same. And so we can find bat fossils and rats and snakes and any of these things. And you'll find that a starfish supposedly from 400 million years ago looks just like a starfish today.
Okay.
The eyes of a shrimp are the same.
Are you suggesting that these creatures are reproducing after their own kind?
Yeah, we probably outright stating it. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And so as we get to all of the various discoveries in the past decade, the Agnathan jawless fish showed up. Well, that was supposed to be limited to a very specific time period in the geologic column. We now find it almost throughout the column. Algae, same thing. There was a recent discovery of a reptile. It's called a therapsid in Zambia. And it's supposed to be gone for 50 million years. Well, now they're finding it in what they consider to be relatively recent deposits. And as we explore more and more around the world, the truth about the geologic record is becoming more and more evident that this is a record, a worldwide testimony to the truth about the flood.
Mm-hmm.
So as Christians, we can be confident in the Word of God giving us a trustworthy history of the past.
We can. We can. One of the other things that's kind of remarkable is the eyes. If you get to Proverbs 20:12, it says, the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord has made them both.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, how is it that we assimilate most of our information? How do we read the Word? How do you hear the Word,
mm-hmm,
right?
Right.
Our eyes and ears.
Right.
Both are remarkable instruments of creation. Well, interestingly enough, eyes have been very, very, very complex from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of you have ever seen a trilobite, it's that thing that looks like a little, kind of like a beetle, only it's an underwater creature. There are literally billions of them in the fossil record. And they got to be quite large. I mean, the size of a dinner plate.
Wow.
Or better. But they were small as well. The trilobite has what are called compound eyes.
Hmm.
And today you would know of compound eyes out of dragonflies, shrimp, flies, things like that. And what we now know about compound eyes, they come in many different kinds of styles, about 10 different styles.
Okay.
They have different cornea placements, things like that. But the remarkable thing is that each one of those little, what looks like a little pixel, like a pixel on a TV screen.
Yeah.
Each one of those pixels, it's called an ommatidia. And it turns out that the ommatidia is the most unbelievably complex series of structures
right.
that have the ability to resolve polarization. It can see infrared. It can see ultraviolet. I mean, different ones have different capabilities. So a modern dragonfly, to give you an example, has 30,000 ommatidia in each eye. 30,000.
Oh, my
goodness. So you have to think about the visual processing center that is taking in 60,000 messages, signals, coordinating all of that into something that can then be acted on. It turns out that the dragonfly has three brain centers. I bring up the dragonfly because many people believe that this is the structure that's most similar to what we find in the fossil record with the trilobites.
I see.
So they have three different brain processing centers, neural processing for these signals to pull them together. This is an unbelievably complex system. And this is in the very earliest layers of the fossil record. The rocks below this layer generally do not contain any fossils. So this is, you know, like the earth was created, just like God said, and then the flood came by, the fountains of the deep broke open. These marine invertebrates were essentially washed over the land. Ultimately, during the flood year, the land was thrust up, and that's why we find these invertebrates on top of every mountain range, including clams that are 6 feet across in the Himalayas. I mean, enormous, enormous creatures. But this Ommatidia is a level of complexity that cannot be contemplated. There is no... Where did they come from? Where did those eyes come from? They certainly didn't. There's no record that they came from an eye spot or a light sensitive spot, which is the standard secular story. There's nothing in the fossil record that would support that kind of a theory.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I understand the idea of just ignoring truth, if you don't like it, you just ignore it. Reminds me when I was a student at the University of Illinois and I was in a debate class. We had to have facts and figures for both sides of the debate. The issue was, should the United States stay in the United Nations? So we had to do research for both sides. We never knew which side we would debate till we walked into class. But once we walked into class and we found out what side we were debating, we immediately set aside the other cards and ignored the facts and figures and everything else for the other side of the argument, because we only wanted our side to be presented. And the only problem was, if the other team realized that there were weaknesses in our side, boy, they'd just tear us apart. And that, I think, is what's happening with the evolution creation issue. They're ignoring the truth, and that's why 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 talks about it's warfare. And it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And strongholds like evolution, strongholds like there is no God, these types of things, that is the war that we are engaged in. And that's why, Jerry, what you are sharing is so vitally important. Well, we've run out of time, but join us next time, folks, and we will continue this process as we talk about the origin of information. Next time we're together. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.